Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host for the next 60 minutes. This is another in our ongoing The News in Review series. Our focus this week is on the two very sad cases, Kaylee Anthony and the missing 5-year-old Haley Cummings. Joining me in the studio is my wife, Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, everyone.
And from the wilds of Oregon, Ms. Pickles. Hi, Pickles.
Hey.
I doubt that there is a single listener who has not heard the sad news about Sean Krause. He finally lost his battle with cancer early last week. I know I can speak for my wife, Jan, in saying that our hearts and prayers go out to Sean's family. A sad loss to the world. The radio show will not be the same without his interesting usage of the English language. I've spent a couple of days practicing, but I just know I'm not in his class. On a more serious note, though, I think I speak for everyone here at Blogger News when I say thank you to all of Sean's family and friends that took time to listen and call in to our tribute show last week. It's great to know that Sean had so many great people behind him. Our phone lines are open, and we do encourage all of our listeners to call in with your thoughts and comments. Our number is area code 646-378-1120, and the switchboard is open, so please do call in this week. So, on with the show. I guess the big event in the Kaylee case was Lee Anthony's deposition. Pickles, what did you make of it?
About what? I'm sorry.
The Lee Anthony deposition.
Christ, I mean, you know, just, I mean, I don't know if he was telling the truth. I just didn't, like, what, everything he was saying is like, ooh. It made me feel like I was out on the ocean, like, getting all, you know, seasick. I don't know what to make of these people. I understand that people laugh and giggle when they're nervous, and, you know, that's understandable. I do it, too, but that is a time for seriousness. This is a radio show where everybody's listening, you know, it's a little bit more relaxed. A deposition is a time of seriousness for a court hearing regarding, it's a big picture, a murder. And just sitting and, I didn't understand it. It gave me a headache.
I've been deposed twice. Not that I was guilty, but I was involved in a couple of situations. And you're right. It really is a very, very serious situation. Court reporters, lawyers, people looking at you through the microscope. Definitely not a fun thing. Yet Lee Anthony seemed to treat it with a certain amount of levity.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a hard time believing his story. And I think if you go in there and you tell the truth, why should you be nervous anyway? If all the answers, the questions that they ask you, you answer them honestly, you don't have no reason to be nervous. And
you know,
go ahead.
The way they look at it, though, is that Casey is right and nobody else is.
They think that's the only one that's right.
you know, yeah, exactly. They're like, oh, that's not who she was talking about. Ha, ha, ha. That's not the Zenaida. The Zenaida who she was talking about grabbed her arm and this and that and this. But ha, ha, it wasn't her giggle, giggle, chuckle, chuckle. It's like.
But how does he know?
Yeah, he didn't even know her
word. How does he know? Because they
exactly.
all claim that they none of them knew anything about a Zanny, the nanny, until after Casey went to jail. Okay, but that's still not true. Because the day that Cindy gave the 911 call, Casey told the operator the name, Zenaida Hernandez Gonzalez. She even spelled it out to the operator.
Yep.
So they heard it that day. And he said that it was the day that she went to jail or something like that, that was whenever they heard about it or something to that effect. I said, but he lied. I don't care what, I mean, there's no way I'll believe everything he said. And then he said he believes everything his sister says because he has to. What kind of statement is that?
Well, I don't know. I just, exactly. I mean, I believe it because I have to. Is it because you've gone so far in this that you have to believe it? Or do you have to believe it because
She runs the show, that's why. I mean, look what George told her. You're the boss. And then she says, well, I'm not the boss, not since I come here anyway, not since the day I came in here. I mean, she's run the family. So, I mean, that's what it sounded like to me. Why, once again, this is another statement that Casey ran the family. She told him what to do.
The question I have is this whole civil suit brought by Zenaida Gonzalez of a frivolous nature, or does she have some real grounds?
If they can link the information from the Sawgrass apartment to that Zenaida Gonzalez, and that is the only Zenaida Gonzalez who's even ever been to Sawgrass, was that one day, and they can link that, then I think that she may have a case because Casey Anthony said she has New York plates. Well, doesn't Zenaida have a Ford Focus, like a silver one or something with New York plates? And she said all this other stuff. I mean, if they can link her to that information, then I think that it would be okay for her to be able to get her name cleared.
She used to live in New York. This one did, and she moved to Florida. But now, I know that there's some controversy over her story about her losing her job because of this, and maybe that's the way the media...
Supposedly, Cindy and George lost their jobs over this. We're supposed to have pity on them, but not on the woman that their daughter is framing for her child's murder.
Well, there's the controversy that she didn't lose the job over this.
Oh.
That's what they're saying. See, that's what had come out before. What this was that she didn't lose the job because of this. But then again, I mean, that's what the media has been reporting.
What does that matter?
Exactly. That's my point. The point is, she does have the reputation now. Everybody knows Zenaida Gonzalez. Regardless of what happened to her job, she can't find a job now because of her name.
If they can prove that she's the Zenaida from the Sawgrass apartment, I think that right there is enough to make people say, well, how exactly then did her information even get, you know? And I think that's a link right there. Whoever Casey Anthony knew that lived there, whoever worked there, whatever, that's how she conjured her up is right there. Or from Zanny the Nanny, because, you know, she told her friends when she was partying, they'd say, oh, where's Kaylee? And she'd say, oh, huh, she's with Zanny the Nanny or whatever. Whatever she was doing to Kaylee, she had to cover her butt for that statement, Zanny the Nanny. And so she had to come up and conjure up, you know, and who knows how she did it, but this person seems to be the person that she, you know,
made up. Yeah. I don't think Casey even knows what this girl looks like. I mean, if there was a real Zanny, I don't think she can even give a real description of her because we all know there's none that exists. So how can she say for sure that this isn't or is the girl? It's probably why she's pled the fifth, because if she said no or yes or whatever, you know, they'd come out with this and say, well, you know, how if they prove that she didn't exist, they're going to say, well, she lied under oath.
Oh.
You know? Either way, it can really damage her case if they can prove that, you know, the nanny doesn't exist, or if it, you know, mm-hmm. something comes up to prove her case and say, okay, well, you know, this proves that there was never no nanny, or you know, the Zenaida Gonzalez mm-hmm. was never there, existed. Then they could come back on her and say, well, you know, you lied. Either way, she would have said it. It could have been going back, because if she said no, it was another one. Then they'd say she's still under oath saying this. So she's protecting her own butt right now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Once again, I want to give out our contact number, because we really, really want to find out what our listeners think. And to get in touch with us, our number is area code 646-378-1120. Get those fingers on the phones. Well, I want to see the switchboard light up. Now, what I found interesting in Lee's deposition, which was taken under oath, because that's part of the rules of engagement, is that he stated that it was not the same Zenaida, not the same Zanny the Nanny. How could he know?
Right.
He'd never met the woman. In fact, in the deposition, he clearly stated that he had not even heard the name until much later than Kaylee's disappearance.
That is a good question. How could he? That's what I was saying. How could he swear under oath that this is not the same woman when he contradicts himself? Other than the fact that, okay, my sister said it wasn't. I mean, that's hearsay. You know, you can't swear to that.
Okay, we have a caller coming in from the
Woo-hoo!
Mysterious 111 area code. Caller, are you with us?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I've been listening to you for, a few weeks now. Very interesting. My name is Gail, and I'm from New York State.
Hi, Gail.
Hi. My question to you is, I'll just make a comment and then I'll hang up. I want to know, what is the real story? Did she leave her at the Sawgrass Apartments with Zenaida, or did she leave her in that J. Blanchard Park with Zenaida?
I think they're trying to say now at the park. What story.
How many stories are they going to come up with?
Yeah,
how many
they didn't leave her with Zenaida. She killed her and left her somewhere.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Nobody is questioning this. First she took her and left her at Sawgrass. Now it's that they abducted her at J. Blanchard Park.
They're saying now, she's using this story, saying that they threatened her not to call the police and to do exactly what they tell her to do, or are they going to, she will never see Kaylee again.
But
and
that's
this
not
is why
the story.
She's
she told the police in
yeah.
the beginning.
If she would have told them that, but she didn't. She tells them different things.
And
so.
You know what I've always noticed about the Anthonys ever since the beginning? Why were they not out searching for this nanny?
That's a good question, too. I mean, a normal family would be. And, like, mm-hmm. making pleas instead of, I mean, when they get on TV, they never said nanny, you know, directly to this camera, say Zenaida Gonzalez.
Please bring our child back.
Right. They
Why?
Never said that.
Why?
It was always looking straight in the camera saying, our daughter could not have done this.
Right.
I mean,
right.
that's all it ever was. And, I mean, maybe not in those direct words, but that's basically what it was.
They never begged on TV, please bring our granddaughter
right.
back.
And
never once.
I mean, a normal family, you would think that would be exactly what they would be doing, in tears, not just with a straight face, in tears, choked up over it.
And
I
another
mean,
thing that they said is going to come out, they're going to show the videos of Casey when she was arrested, high-fiving her brother, which I saw that myself, outside the jail when she was going in, having a grand old time.
Oh, yeah, she did that all the time. I mean, they were constantly laughing together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when he went in there to see her, they laughed and they thought it was, I mean, everything was such a joke. And
would that be a person that their child was missing?
That's a good question. That's why, to me, she looks so guilty because of her actions, and not to mention all the evidence that has come up now.
Well, as they say, actions speak louder than words.
Exactly.
But I'll let you go, but I just want to know why no one ever questioned, how many places did this Zanny take this child? How many? The Sawgrass, Jay Blanchard, are they going to come up with a new one tomorrow?
If this one doesn't work for them, yeah, they probably will.
Oh, my God.
Will.
I can't believe what you're going to be surprised.
You know what you can't forget? We're forgetting the one where she was still looking at death row, and that Lemonin lawyer, the death penalty specialist lawyer, submitted that packet that said, Casey Anthony doesn't fit the profile of somebody on death row because, A, her age, and all this other stuff. And Susan Smith, Andrea Yates, they didn't get death row. And then it said, and if the child's body is found, then she most certainly died of an accidental overdose on Sunday.
Yeah.
We can't forget that one. I mean, I know that it's not there anymore because the death penalty is gone, but that is still there. They said that, and I don't understand how they cannot.
Why, if your child died accidentally, why would you put duct tape on their mouth?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Would
that be
well, that would have to be to make it look like somebody else did it.
Oh, my goodness.
If she did, I still think that that's a lie. It could very well be part of it, too, to make it look like. I mean, but I can't understand. If her child died accidentally, why cover it? I mean,
I don't know.
Everybody knows accidents happen. Why cover it up to this extent? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. If there was, if she died accidentally,
she had to have died
like in the fit or something. Maybe the baby was throwing one of her temper tantrums or something with her, and Casey lost control. But that's still no excuse to hide it.
No.
Okay, folks.
Thank you.
I'm going to bring on.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Gail.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Gail.
We have someone calling in from the 734 area code. What's your name and what's your question for us?
Hi, it's Tammy Liz.
Hi, Tammy.
Hey, everybody. Just to talk about what you guys were just talking about, the whole thing is when she talks about the script and then the timer 55 and having the baby returned by her third birthday, whatever, you know, if she told two different stories, but even in the story with the script, what's the motive? What would be the motive if this really had taken place? Like, what did they want from Casey then?
They said that it was supposed to teach her a lesson.
About what?
Exactly.
It's just so ludicrous. That whole script thing is just so ridiculous. You know,
they should have come up with better than this. I mean, if they're going to lie, they should definitely come up with a better
story. They wanted to watch her dance on the dance floor. You can dance. And if you don't dance enough and drink enough, then you're not getting her back.
Right. I mean, and then when I, like, logically think about this case, because, like, we tend to, like, go off on so many different theories, you know, of what this case is really about. But logically, if a nanny was going to steal your child, I would think their motive would be they wanted their own child, and so they would be long gone. It wouldn't even be like, we're giving you so many days, I'm going to take your baby. It just doesn't make sense.
Right.
I
don't understand it either. Like you said, why would she take it? But it just doesn't add up. None of it adds up.
No, it doesn't. And that's why I come back to logically, it is what it is. She killed her child, you know, and it's very hard for us to understand that.
I think logic dictates that, you know, that is the situation. Unfortunately, the legal system is designed in such a way that it's going to be hard to prove
exactly.
In all likelihood.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know. With all this evidence, she's got a lot of evidence against her that points to her. And they're really going to have to come up with some good stuff to get out of this.
Okay, I'm going to bring in yet another caller. someone coming in from area code 251. What's your name and what's your question for us?
Hello, Pickles. This is Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Linda. Hi.
Hey, I just wanted to bring up something that I had remembered when you guys were talking about the part, Jay Blanchard part.
Uh-huh.
You remember back when his name's Padilla had that river search there, the Yukon River?
Right.
Because
yeah.
he said that she was gonna, that was where she was gonna put the baby.
Uh-huh.
And remember when they searched it and searched it and then there was nothing? I think she knew because they said when she was in prison and they told her that they had found something, she just walked away.
Like it was
because
nothing
she knew she wasn't there.
Right. No response whatsoever.
It's bizarre.
Okay.
Sometimes I think Padilla was taking people on a wild goose chase, you know? Like all the different lies and him dredging that river. It's like, what were his real motives?
Leonard Padilla? I don't think he had any motives. I just think he kind of got caught up in it.
I think personally that he, at that time, I think that he could find her. He thought he could find her and get the fame for it, which, like everybody else, they wanted to, you know, to be the one to find her alive or dead, which, you know, they weren't. It was just the fact of somebody finding her. I mean,
that was kind of funny. Lee kept driving by when they were dredging that river, remember?
Yeah. they were worried about it, but she wasn't. She could care less. Like
she
said, I mean, whenever she found out about them finding something, it didn't faze her in the least. She went back to herself.
But what did she do this time? She hyperventilated, doubled over twice.
Yeah, that's why they want this tape, this video recording, the tape that they got of her when she was given this news about the bones.
They found a child.
Yeah, and there was nothing even, I mean, there was nothing even positive, concrete, that it was even Kaylee. But she reacted this way because she knew.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. You must be coming in from the 506 area code.
Yes.
What's your name? And
Canada. It's Nana.
Okay.
I go on Rogers. Yeah,
hi,
it's Jesse. Hi. Is Pickle there?
Yes,
yeah.
He's here.
Hi.
Hi.
No, I'm just wondering, where would a Casey get the name? Why would she choose a name Nanny? Why would she just stick to babysitter?
Right.
Nanny sounds more high class.
Yeah, because Nanny, cool. I mean, you like I said before on the blogger's page, that, you know, in order for her to be a nanny, you would have to have money and hire a nanny to bring her in your home and have have a nice quarters for her to live in and take care of your children.
Really part of the child's life, right.
Right.
Yeah,
anyway,
I
got
to
go.
Oh, it's nice to
thank
talk
you.
To you.
Thanks.
Bye. I love y'all.
Bye.
Bye.
Aww.
Well, that was short and sweet.
Nana's the sweetest.
Okay, let's move on to some other news that came out this week. George and Cindy managed to wriggle out of being deposed due to their mental state.
I think that's
they didn't
the
want to be annoyed
ever.
Or embarrassed.
I think that's the biggest joke ever. They sure weren't too sick to be able to get in front of that camera, though, before, though, were they? I just don't know.
But from what they're saying, they are going to have to. There's no way out of it, right?
They're going to eventually.
In 20 days, the judge said that in 20 days, if they cannot come up with a good enough reason as to why they can't take it, the Nida's lawyer can go to Judge Rodriguez, is that his name?
Yeah,
and
I think
and he will move mountains to get that court trial. He said, if they can't come up with anything, I will move mountains for you.
Well, they're going to come up with a doctor that'll say it. They always seem to have the right thing at the right time, just whenever they need it. You ever notice that? I mean, if it was me, I would be like, oh, my God, you know, there's no way I'm going to get out of this, no matter what I did, because nothing ever goes right for me. But it seems like everything is handed to these people just like they want it to be handed.
But I don't think once the 20 days is up, they're going to have to testify, you know. And
as long as they can't find a doctor for these papers.
Well, you know what? I think it's because of George. George went to the nut house. He has a doctor.
That was
if
so
fun.
I don't believe that for one minute. How
if
you get healed that fast?
I know, but like if he, whatever he told them, if he can get some doctor to believe that he's certifiable, then that can be used, I bet, at whatever they're trying to do right now. Because I think that George's testimony, whatever has to do with, like, whatever he said at the grand jury, right?
Yeah, so they can get out of it, to backtrack it and take it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
all planned. I don't believe for one minute, God forgive me if I'm wrong, but I'll never believe that he tried to commit suicide.
Yeah.
They said that he took, that pills was missing out the bottle. Who knows? Those pills could have been dumped down the toilet or something.
But, you know, I think that's who they're trying to get.
Yeah. Did they pump his stomach out and prove that he took pills? No. If they did, nobody ever said anything about that. So prove to me that the man actually tried to commit suicide, and then maybe I'll believe it. But I still think it's all planned.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Maybe that's what they're trying to use as their crazy card, is him going to the hospital.
And going back to Lee for a minute, when I saw I didn't watch it, like, on the computer or nothing, but I only saw bits and pieces on Nancy Grace, but he was not believable. He seemed he's covering, and he does not believe a word he's saying. He cannot believe that ridiculous stuff coming out of his mouth. I don't even know how old he is, but my observation of him is he's very shady. He's sticking up for his sister no matter what, and that's what I came away with that from. And his laughing was totally inappropriate. I don't care if it was nervous laughter or whatever. You just don't do it.
Right.
You should be respectful of all the people involved in this, because, you know, the people questioning him and stuff, and, like, the courts coming in, this is not their fault. This is his sister's fault.
She's the one that brought it all on.
He needs to respect everybody.
It's not a game. It's like, that's exactly
that's how he treats everybody. Like, he's very angry at everybody. But it's like, you need to be angry at your sister.
Yeah, the whole bunch of them are like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they blame everybody but the one that should be blamed. And if they would have, if they wouldn't have been like this to begin with, people wouldn't even think about them like they do. If they would have.
Oh, exactly.
I have said 1,000 times, a parent can back your child, but even if they're guilty, and I mean, if it was my son, I would say, okay, I'm going to be there for you, but son, you're going to pay for what you did, or you have to face up to it. You have to own up to what you've done. You can't just pat them on the back and tell them, okay, well, I know you've done wrong, but, you know, we're going to get you out of this. Yeah,
and I don't think he even answered the question or finished. They didn't finish it on Nancy Grace, but when he asked him, who are you referring to about the initial CMA, and he goes, well, I know three people with those initials. Did he ever answer that question?
I don't know. I didn't hear that.
That's rude.
He did specifically ask the question of CMA in one context, and Lee answered, it was Kaylee Marie Anthony.
So he did finally answer.
He lied.
Right, and that was exactly what I thought.
It's a case to be studied. These people are to be studied. I don't know. I used to be supportive of them when this was written. I am, because I still say they're all victims, even though they're wacky acting. But then again, when it comes to, you know, justice and the courts and people questioning them who just want justice, like I said, they all need to respect the system, because the system didn't do this to them. You know, she brought this all on them.
Yeah.
So I just think it's terrible to watch the way they act, even. Like when Cindy and George do have to go do that depo, you know she's going to hedge on all her answers. She's going to try to answer with one word, or try to get it around in another way,
or turn it or twist it around.
Mm-hmm.
Or she's
going to
have
her advantage.
a snobby attitude, like, I cannot even believe I'd have to be here for this.
They don't go see their daughter because they don't want to have to tell her all this and face her because she's put them through this. You know, she's basically wrecked their lives.
Yeah,
she's
they
destroyed
try to say
their lives.
They try to say it's because they don't want to be on camera.
There's a part of them, I believe, that underneath all that is they're very angry at her. You know, they're gonna save her, try to save her, but they're angry too underneath.
Okay, what I can't understand is if I can word this the way I feel it, because I can't always put the right words out. But they say that the Anthonys have been through so much. They've lost their granddaughter, and now they don't want to lose their daughter, too. Okay, I can respect the fact that they have lost their granddaughter, and I have respect, and I am sorry for that part. But just because they lost their granddaughter, too, does that mean that Casey should get away with what she did because so they won't have no more heartache of losing their daughter, too? I mean, to me, that's what they are all saying, was that because they lost their granddaughter, they can't lose their daughter, too. So Casey should be free.
Yeah, that doesn't even make any sense.
Is the way they are putting it. Everybody is using this as sympathy on the Anthonys. They lost their granddaughter. Now they don't want to lose their daughter, too. That does not excuse Casey for any wrongdoing. I'm sorry, and it's not. I don't mean it to be disrespectful to anybody, for that matter. But the fact of the matter is, if she is guilty of this, she should pay whether they lost their granddaughter or not. I mean, that's
right.
I don't want it to sound like I'm not caring about, because I can, as a grandmother myself, I can feel for that part of them. I do have sympathy on that part of them. What I don't have sympathy for is them using this child, the loss of this child, to get Casey off of this. And that's the way, to me, that's the way all this looks, and it's not right.
Okay, I'm going to break in again. And once again, our switchboard number is area code 646-378-1120. And we would love to hear your comments and questions. Jose Baez is back in court on Monday to try and block the release of photos from Photo Bucket that apparently are less than flattering for his client. He also wants to block the release of the jailhouse video showing Casey's reaction to the news that a skeleton had been found.
Yeah.
What pictures is it? Is it her nudie, nasty pictures?
We don't even care about the pictures anyways. I don't care about the pictures.
Is that... I don't either, but is that what the big deal is with these pictures? Is it
apparently
the old one?
So, because he said it'll ruin her name. I mean, ruin her reputation.
Oh, my God, her name.
Or embarrass her.
That must
name,
be it.
Her name is a murderer and killer. I mean,
but
you know.
But embarrass her. If that was the case, why did she put him on there to begin with?
You know what Sean said last show? He said that she was selling those pictures of herself to people, and maybe that's probably why she don't want them released if those are done, because she wants to make her buck off of them. Because
yeah,
if they get released, they're going to be free. And who the hell is going to want Casey want to pay for her when they can get it for free?
Oh, that's very true, too. But some of these pictures have been released already.
Mm-hmm.
Two. I heard that two were released.
They have no basis or relevance to the fact that she killed her daughter.
Exactly.
Period. I don't care if I was a juror and they brought them photos out, I'd say that ain't nothing. That's got nothing to do with the case. Just, you know, show the evidence. Because we all know what type of character she
might
has,
request,
you know,
a puke bag, though, before.
Well, his argument is because it'll embarrass his client. But like I said,
you know,
if she
what?
Put them on there to begin with, why should her embarrassment, I mean, why would it be an embarrassment to her?
She had ulterior motives, anyways, to this. I mean,
there's definitely a motive there somewhere along the line.
I see Baez is busy on the important things of the trial coming up.
Yes, that's
true. Give me a break. The pictures he's worried about. Come on.
He's like, I want.
He has better
himself.
Things to worry about.
Yeah, he's thinking about.
He has bigger ones.
If it's the truth about the selling of the picture, he's seeing dollar signs that he's going to be losing. if these pictures do come out.
If it is those pictures.
Ooh, that was kind of callous, Jan.
Well, I've got a very low opinion of Jose Baez.
Well, he wants them for himself anyways, you know, bottle of lotion, roll of paper towels.
I just have a very, I call him a sleaze bag, and that's exactly what he is.
Actually, the Baez and the entire defense team has been very quiet. I haven't seen them on TV. In fact, not even their, quote, experts have been popping up. Are they in the trenches? Yeah.
I think they're all just busy working day and night, scratching their heads, going, oh, my God, how are we going to defend her?
What are we
going to
get her out?
What are we going to say when this starts, you know, because there's nothing. I don't feel there's nothing they have for defense. I don't. I don't even know where they're going to begin.
I don't know how they're going to get her out of this. But they will find some crooked way to do it.
Mental defect or postpartum is something. They're going to have to figure out something because there's no defense.
I don't even see how they can say mental because, I mean, they have her own mother's statement saying that she was fine, that she didn't see no problems with her daughter. I mean, remember back when they were interviewing Cindy, she said that she didn't have no problems, that Casey was a wonderful mother. She could get the Mother of the Year award. Somebody that was that good definitely didn't show any signs of mental problems.
Okay, before we move on to the other subject I want to talk about this afternoon, we have one more caller from the 251 area code. What's your name and what's your question for us?
I guess you picked me up again. This is Linda. I have a real good question.
Linda.
I'm wondering how many of you guys think that her brother, what is his name?
Lee.
Do you think Lee might have been jealous of Kaylee? And what about all that makeup he had on?
Do you think that's makeup? I wondered that too. Why does he, I don't know. He's got an odd hairdo, but, you know, and sideburns, but.
I mean, he really looked like he had on eyeliner and eyeshadow and...
I think
wow.
He looked like Lurch.
And
know.
He just laughed so much. I mean, it was like there was no concern there for Kaylee at all. I don't think he ever brought her name up one time.
And he called her...
He probably resents Kaylee like Casey does, you know, because now look at what she's done to my life. Oh, I'm in jail because of Kaylee. And now look at Lee. He's been accused of... boning his sister and being a freak and all because of Kaylee. He probably resents her now.
What I got out of it was that he was all for his sister. I will always believe everything my sister says.
Because I have to, at the end, he said.
Because
because I have to. He said, I'll always believe what my sister says. But that's another lie right there because he even said before... that he knows his sister lies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
in the beginning, he was ratting her out.
How can they sit there and say that the man told the truth from everything they could tell? He told the truth. When he did not lie, I mean, he did lie because he sit there and he said that he believes everything his sister said, but yet he said before, yeah, I know my sister lies.
Yeah, because she dropped her off at the apartment, and then he said she told the police she lied that she dropped her, that she was at the park.
Oh, no, he didn't even tell the police that. He said that he figured the police would know, so he didn't go. Because they asked him, how come, I mean, a normal person that would just receive that kind of information would go straight to the police. And he said, well, he didn't. And they asked why not, and he said because he assumed that the police already knew about it.
Oh, okay. Hmm.
So, I mean, there's more cover up here, and I don't see how they can say that they aren't covering it up. I mean, it's right there in front of them. I don't understand how they get in the way.
It's kind of almost like they think everyone is stupid at them.
Exactly. Like everybody else it's everybody else that doesn't, that's not making any sense but them. And they think that we are dumb to listen to all their excuses.
Okay, let's switch gears here. I know we could talk for hours about the Kaylee Anthony case. But let's move on to the other hot one in the news, the missing little 5-year-old girl, Haley Cummings. Pickles, you've been following this one pretty closely. What's been going on in the past week?
They released Haley's home back to Ron. It's no longer a crime scene. It was a crime scene for what she's been on for like 3 weeks. And he was not going to live back in there, though. He doesn't want
to
move back in.
He's not going to, huh?
Yeah, no, he does not want to. He says he can't live there knowing his daughter was taken from her bed. And they searched a construction site dumpster because of cadaver. They had for Thursday and Friday, they had cadaver dogs from Georgia South up over there in Florida. And they had, I think it was a total of 9 dogs, maybe seven or nine. I can't remember the exact number, but they had a total bunch, a whole bunch of cadaver searching under panelings on mobile homes and in the wooded areas. And they wanted a DNA sample from Haley's biological mother, Crystal, just in case any evidence came up, but they didn't find anything in the dumpster. And, they questioned Misty Crossland. I guess on the Thursday when the cadaver dogs were out working real hard and covering ground, they questioned Misty for like 3 hours or something again. That's what I read.
Hmm.
But, you know, it's understandable she was the last one to see Haley.
Right.
I'm sure there's a lot they want to know from her.
Well, she would be the one to ask since she is the last one. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean? That is mm-hmm. the one that should know what she was wearing, you know, what kind of mood she was in before she went to sleep. I mean, just, you know, did she brush her teeth the night before?
Right,
oh,
right. What did she eat or what,
right.
yeah, what was
she
doing prior?
She would be the one that would know all this. And
they might even start asking her things like, who did you speak to on the phone that evening? You know, were you on
right.
home with friends? Or
who
did they know you were home alone?
Happened.
Yeah.
Exactly. They need to know all. I mean, she needs to be asked all these questions. And not so much because she would be a suspect, but because she's the only one that can answer
mm-hmm.
these questions.
It's got to be, what, 3 weeks it's coming up on now, or is it longer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the 10th of February.
Yeah, it was the same day as the memorial, wasn't it?
Yes, I believe it was, or very close to it. The cadaver dogs, you mentioned them, Pickles.
Mm-hmm.
They were hitting on a dumpster, but
mm-hmm.
the dumpster was picked over, shall we say. And
well, they brought in another dumpster.
Yeah, to put the dead stuff in.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, cadaver dogs, yeah, at least everything I've ever heard, are pretty darn good. If
mm-hmm.
they hit, it means something bad was there. But the news programs I read said that the cops basically just went through the contents and went, yeah, no big deal, and moved on.
They said that there was mm-hmm. nothing found related to Haley.
Hmm.
I think, isn't that what they said, Pickles?
Yeah.
So
they said there was no evidence found. It turned up nothing.
But then again, they said the same thing for Kaylee. And went out in
right.
the backyard.
Exactly.
Too, so.
Exactly.
This
I just can't imagine what they're going to do next, you know, because
I don't know either.
You know, too much time has gone by, and I just keep thinking about that poor little girl. Where is she? You know, no trace, no sign.
Well, everything's a mystery. You know, I forgot that Ron, Haley's dad, was seen giving the detectives a piece of paper. Like, I don't know. Nobody knows what was on it. You know, it could have been a grocery list. But it's just all so mysterious, like, you know.
Hmm. I didn't hear
yeah.
about that one.
Yeah.
I understand that the Haley Cummings case was part of America's Most Wanted last
yeah.
night.
And I missed it.
Yeah,
I
didn't see it. did you catch it, Pickles? Or
no, I didn't see it. My children
no,
know I'm going to watch
it. I didn't
TV.
Either. I always
I
missed everything.
I did want to see it, but I missed
but,
it.
it was part of a segment that had three other children included with it, so I'd probably imagine that they do a missing children segment.
And yeah, and that's a sad thing, is there's so many right now that are missing. I mean, they're talking about a different child every night. It's not just these ones we're talking about. It's like another girl and another one, you know, and don't know whatever happened.
Something has to be done to stop this. I mean, it's bad when you're not safe to be in your own home with your children anymore. I mean, people can just walk in and take your child, and it's really something to worry about for sure. It makes me glad I don't have no little ones here, but I'm worried about my grandchildren, you know?
You know, and it's interesting that the police didn't find, if somebody came in through that door and propped it open, there has to be trace evidence of something from that person. So that they can at least say, yes, there was somebody there. We know that didn't belong to the home. They have to, as much as they can do, you know, you wonder, do they already have some kind of evidence, because somebody would leave a footprint or an invisible smudge on the wall or something?
Aren't they being kind of tight-lipped about what they found?
Yeah.
Close to the best.
Which is a worry, too, about the family, because if there was, then they could say, we can totally rule out all of these people. We now know that there was an intruder in the home. They could say that if they,
They're certainly not saying that.
Right.
Yeah, no one is
I just can't believe you could come in and walk through that, you know, like it's a trailer, right, and come through, unless the
trailer squeaks.
You know, has gloves on and took their shoes off, you know. And
I thought that they lived in a house, a little house over there in the trailer park.
No, it's a double-wide mobile home.
Oh, okay, that's the kind of home it is.
And it's always that trace evidence that somebody leaves behind, that, like, say that they bent over to get her, and then their hair fell out. You know what I mean? And they go in and they find that one little... I always watch these shows where they can find so much like that, and it amazes me. So I think because they haven't come out and said, you know, we now haven't collected and we've released the home, that now we can rule out the family altogether.
They've
just
released the home, period.
Yeah. So...
In fact, on last night's America Most Wanted, they also featured another little missing child, Aji Dazir, the six-year-old kid that has some mental issues.
That's the one I was wondering about, if they had ever found anything on him.
No, they haven't. But the Aji story doesn't seem to have garnered nearly as much press coverage as either Kaylee or Haley.
So sad.
It's so sad.
When I seen that little boy, I was just praying that, you know, I just can't imagine how that grandmother feels, you know, that he's out in the yard playing and he's gone. It's just tragic, horrible, horrible.
That's what I said. It's really sad that you can't feel safe. I mean, you have to watch your kids 24 hours a day to protect them, and you're short of locking up in a room with no windows and
I'm so conscious of it now, even like when I'm out shopping in the grocery store, wherever I go, I almost am distracted from my shopping because I'm too busy keeping my eye on her.
Right.
I mean, even for a second to turn to grab something and turn around.
I believe
hurt,
last week I said something about that. Whenever I was a kid, I remember, I mean, you know, we would go one place in the store and meet my mother in the front after so long.
Mm-hmm.
And
right. You
can't do that with your kids anymore. You can't let them
know.
Like, you've got to be right there with them for their own safety. You know, it's not because you don't trust them out there to breaking something in the store or something like that, but you can't, because you never know when somebody's going to pick them up, haul them in the bathroom, cut their hair, dye their hair or whatever, change their clothes, and run off with them. And you just don't know anymore, so... It's scary. It's very scary.
I don't think we covered this last week. It happened last Saturday evening, though. Ronald Cummings and Geraldo got into it. What was the story?
Geraldo was being a jerk. He was bombarding Ron. Like, Ronald was over at Camp Miss Crystal and was getting all this dirt on Ron, and then he went right back over to Ron like a little high school girl and said, well, is this true? Is this true? Drugs, violence, and Geraldo
like he was interrogating him like a detective or something.
I don't know why.
And he definitely had no right to do it.
No.
He's like, nobody had a chair.
I have to admit that, generally speaking, I don't much care for Nancy Grace. It's just the way I am. But at least, you know, she seems like a decent human being. Geraldo, on the other hand, it's just an outrageous guy.
I didn't see him acting like that with Jose Baez or with Casey. I mean, he didn't go
exactly
up to Casey and make her all those kind of accusations because he's buddies with Jose Baez. But he
Geraldo may be one of the first ones that gets that interview with Casey when she's behind bars like Manson.
Well, still and all, it just still, like I said, it just doesn't make any sense for him to go and do that to I thought it was funny that he got banned from the area and told that if he returned, he'd be arrested.
I think it's actually rather a sad story. I mean, it reflects very badly on Fox News.
Too bad.
Too bad, she says. But, I mean, you know, a news organization has to at least appear to have some impartiality.
Right.
Well, they ought to think about who they got hired. Speak for them.
It's Geraldo.
I don't have any sympathy for him. I used to respect him, but I don't anymore. And he shouldn't have done what he did.
News reporting has definitely changed in the last 10 years. It isn't what it is. It isn't what it was. You know, back 10 years, maybe 15 years, news was news. People reported on the news. Now it's the all-time important ratings. If you don't have the ratings, you don't have news. And I suspect that that's what Geraldo is all about.
Well, and I noticed between on Nancy Grace, the commercials, one of them's what, Mercedes-Benz? You know, she's got some good sponsors, you know, for her in between the breaks. Advertisers, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And advertising is absolutely everything. Without advertising, none of these organizations would exist. You know, news is just an overhead. Okay, there's one more area that I'd like to plow into. Junior and the Man in Black. Okay, who wants to tell me the story?
Anybody know?
The little boy.
The little boy said that somebody dressed in black came in the room and took his sister.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything else about it.
They had people who are trained to handle children and talk to them, like his age, about things like this.
Uh-huh.
They brought in qualified people to do that, and they have yet to even comment on this or anything else, really.
Mm-hmm.
But Crystal said that Junior told her that a man in black came in and took the family.
One report I read said that it was stage-managed.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Why would somebody come in all black anyways? I just think that's odd, too.
Well,
how old was the little boy? Four?
Three or four, I don't know. It'd be kind of odd for the little boy to say, a man came in dressed in black.
Right, because
a man came in and took my sister.
Right,
maybe,
that's what I.
But
then again,
the little boy said no to say the man was dressed in black.
Yeah,
maybe
but
it was
again,
dark.
I'm finding that they pick up and hear and repeat things that you know. You think, well, how did they know that? You know, so then I went back and forth on that one. Like, why would he specifically say all black at
right.
that small of a toddler age? Or and then I think, but then again, they're so observant. Other times, you know, so.
But this was in the middle of the night.
And
well,
why wouldn't he
no.
have woken the girl anyway and been
right.
scared? I would think,
right.
no.
Why wouldn't he have woke up Misty if, you know,
and
my
just, yeah,
woke her out.
And know.
He's seen him doing it. If he
well,
knew
you know
that
what
somebody took his sister away, you know, he would. Seems to me like he would have woke Misty up at least.
And because at that age, they say they're talking all the time. I have one that talks nonstop. So I would think that they would start saying something out loud.
Right. That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think we have one of our frequent flyers on the line, area code 251.
It's Linda again.
Yeah,
oh,
I guess I should stay on here. Now, what I'm thinking...
You don't have to hang up.
What I'm thinking is if my 4-year-old grandson saw someone come in a room all dressed in black, sleepy or not, I think he would jump up out of the bed and start screaming his lungs out.
My yeah, God. That's my point. That's what I mean. It just doesn't seem right, especially if he knew that this man come and took his sister away, why would... I mean, it seems like he would be saying, you know, where are you taking my sister? Or something, scream for his sister or something, you know?
Right. And they said Missy was in bed with him, so... I mean, my grandson.
And why didn't she say that right away on the 911 call? Why wouldn't she, the little boy, have told her by the time she got to the phone and called?
But I don't think he told her. I think he told his mother, wasn't it?
That
yeah.
was his mother. But whatever, I think it's been a well-planned deal. And that's just my feelings about it. I think it was well-planned. I think they were watched, and someone came and took her, and they planned it real well.
It's so sad.
Well, you know what I was thinking about the whole guy in black thing is maybe it was really dark, and if Junior did wake up, maybe it wasn't that the guy was in black, but it was dark, and all he seen was his
right.
silhouette, his shadow.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That could have exactly been what it was.
And maybe he didn't know how to say, hey, I seen, you know, he was black. It was all black, you know.
Yeah, that's possible. It's just... It's sad that you have to, you know, that would be the only witness.
That you have to rely on a 4-year-old's recollection.
Yeah. Right. isn't sure what he's saying, you know.
I had a pretty good memory when I was 4, though. I mean, I can remember.
Well, the memory's good, but it's still not the fact is, though, I mean, if that's the only thing he can tell you, you know, he
right.
can't tell you anything else. And if he's the only witness, you know, that a man in black is not really that much to tell. You know,
and
I mean,
kids
how tall
are easy
he
to
is, about how much he weighs. You know, you need to know all that kind of stuff. But if that's the only thing that can come up with being the only description, it's not much to go on. I mean,
no, but at least know that it was a man.
Right. I mean, that would be evidence that somebody did take her. You know, it's not like she wandered off, as they said, you know, someone was trying to say before, even though they said she was afraid of the dark. So...
Okay, I'm going to act as schoolmaster here. I'm going to give you all some homework.
Uh-oh.
Do you remember in English class those awful words? I want you to write an essay to compare and contrast. Oh, I dreaded it. It was awful. But if you look at the Haley and Kaylee case, there's some very big differences. As far as I know, Haley has no lawyers, there's no spinmeisters, there's no press people talking for the lawyers. Why the difference?
Money. That's what I say. There's nobody, they're not interested in the money. They're interested in their child being found. As the other ones, it seems like the dollar signs just seem to ring up in their minds. And
that's
back and forth.
That's a small little area right there, Isabel, isn't it?
It's a very
it's quite
small
a ways
community.
Away. It's like 100 miles away from Orlando.
Yeah, it's a small community. But, I mean, who's to say if lawyers haven't contacted them, but you don't see each one of them running out and getting an attorney to be able to go get questioned. Well, just wait until I get my attorney and he'll be present for it. You know, they're talking on their own. At least they are willing to do that instead of saying,
and they took polygraphs, too.
Right.
It is an interesting question. I really don't know. I had to sort of think about that one. What
is
the difference?
But, I mean, they aren't waiting for an attorney to be able to go and talk to answer questions like the Anthony's did. The Anthony's wouldn't talk to nobody without an attorney present.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
we're just about out of time. I want to say thank you to our panel, particularly my wife, Jan.
Thank you.
And Ms. Pickles.
No problem.
And everyone that called in. I'm sure Jan.
Linda, Gail, Pammy, Nana.
Yeah, gosh.
Oh, y'all, thank
kidding.
Y'all very much.
I'm sure we'll be doing this next week, and with a bit of luck, we might have a very, very special guest. So, till next time, this is Simon Barrett from www.bloggernews.net wishing you all a great day, and please visit with us. Thank you, and
bye.
Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
Okay, thank
bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.